To make 9 sermons out of the book of Matthew, and as we make a journey, our journey to Easter 2016, and we're going to have very interesting text from the book of Matthew. We're going to look at their lives, we'll look into their situations, how they feel, how they met the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can apply that truth to our lives. That's my intention. So our text is from today is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. The particular verse is found from our ESV Bible from the pew. It's 1033. Before reading the scripture, the Word of God, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us this great opportunity to have your words in our hands and read all the words and lines and digesting your word and understand and live up to your teaching. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself through the scripture to us. Thank you for bringing us to your holy words, so that we'll be able to live by, not by live bread alone, but live by your words. Lord, thank you for giving us Matthew 18 today. We're going to read a very interesting stories. And would you please help us? Help us your wills and your plans of salvation, your grace in Jesus Christ. Lord, also bless me and give your words to my lips so that I can speak of only Jesus Christ, nothing else but Jesus Christ, so that our congregation, I will see your honor and glory at this very moment. We will experience your kingdom right here at this moment, this place. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 17. When he came down from the mountain, the great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gifts that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority and a soldier is under me. And then I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of a kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In their place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she rose and began to serve him. And every evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "He took our illness and bore our diseases." This is the word of God. three healings that we just read from the book of Matthew chapter 8. Now, you may have heard of a sermon about the faith of a centurion, either from Matthew or Luke. Luke chapter 7 has the same story, a little bit more detail. Now, this story that we read here, maybe centurion, one of the famous stories that teaches about the faith of a Gentile centurion. You may also probably heard of sermons about Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, which is very short verses, or Jesus healed the leper, which is our beginning of our text. However, while the faith of a centurion is a well-known story to us, and we know about what happened to him, the other two stories are not well-known to us. Sometimes we forget about them. Now, the thing is, we need to read these all three stories together. That's why I'm bringing this text to you. I tell you why. Now, Matthew describes in chapter 4 and 23 the ministry of Jesus Christ as teaching and preaching, and one more, that is healing. Now, after the baptism, Jesus began his teaching and preaching ministry, which is the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Then now, Matthew 8 here, Matthew tells three different stories to describe the purpose of Jesus' healing ministry. He did not just put different stories together, but he intentionally put three stories together to describe the purpose of Jesus' healing ministry. Therefore, it would be better for us to read these three healing stories together to find out the purpose of Jesus' healing ministry. Now, each story has different meanings, but each story tells us about the power of Jesus Christ, the healer, the great physician. Jesus also displayed his mighty power and authority as the Son of God in the story, the creator of the world, by healing different people. We will meet him throughout the story. However, the bigger picture that we're going to see today is Matthew presents you and me and to his readers to understand the meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. That is where I'm driving today. So let's talk about each story briefly, if I can, three stories, and then I will tell you why Matthew put these stories together. Now, first story. Now, after Jesus' teaching on the mountain, Matthew describes that many, many people followed him, the crowds. Now, among thousands of people, Matthew brought our attention to one person, a leper. A leper's story is also found in Mark 1 and Luke. But here, Matthew says, "Behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him," which is verse 2. Now, we know the verse, "Behold," is very special meaning to Matthew. He uses a lot. That this is Matthew's favorite word to vividly describe the scene, what's happening right now. It needs your attention. That simply means, look, see. Now, in the Old Testament, let's think about the leprosy. In the Old Testament, leprosy is described as a horrible skin disease. If someone was found to have this particular disease, a priest had to examine them or him or her carefully and separate them from the community. Now, lepers were not allowed to stay in the towns or villages, but living outside of the community. That's based on Leviticus chapter 13 and 46. So a very special law for them. There was no treatment for them, but only treatment is separating them from the community. That's only one treatment they have. This is what the Bible says, Leviticus 13 verse 5, very interesting text. The leprous person who has a disease shall wear worn clothes and let their hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out. This is what they say, "Unclean! Unclean!" Cry out. The thing of having a leprosy is really sad, but the Bible teaches them you have to cry out, unclean, unclean. So this is a horrible disease. So they were considered socially, religiously unclean people. They cannot join anything. And no one liked them. Now in our story, surprisingly, this guy must be separated. A leper came to Jesus and knelt before him, which was a very shocking and unusual case. Now, because he was an unclean person, as the Bible described, he shouldn't be there. And one thing is true, he shouldn't be there. But he approached Christ and knelt before him. Now, some scholars, even including, I'm not a scholar, but I agree with them, scholars understood that his action of kneeling before Jesus Christ was an act of worship. Here's why. The word kneel in Greek means to worship. That's why the King James Version translated as worshipped him. I agree with it. But anyway, the disciples and the crowds around Jesus Christ, there was very interesting to awkward situation. A leper knelt before Christ and trying to worship him. Then the leper called Jesus, said, Lord. He added more, Lord. Now, we know that the word Lord carries many different meanings in the New Testament time. It can be a sir or Lord. But either way, this particular word carries a sense of respect and honor. So he came with a sense of respect and honor and to worship God. A leper's action of kneeling before Christ and the word Lord combines together and give us enough reason that the leper must have believed Christ as the Lord, who was able to provide a complete healing, a miracle to him. Now, after showing his honor and faith to Christ, what he said to Jesus was utterly amazing. Verse 2, if you will, you can make me clean. I'm going to talk about this one later, but he said, if you will, you can make me clean. What the leper said to Christ reveals actually his true faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know how the leper heard about Jesus Christ, since he was separated from people and he could not be in the public. But from his words and his confession and his attitude that Matthew describes in our text, we know that the leper strongly, strongly believed that Jesus has the power and authority to heal his horrible disease. Jesus had the power and authority to save him from his horrible disease. So he asked Jesus to clean his unclean disease. But there is a sentence, if that is your will. Now the disciples and many other people next to Jesus Christ was stunned by the leper's kind of crazy behavior and words. Think about that. That is really disturbing. It's an unlawful and disturbing experience for watching the lepers, the unclean person's unacceptable behavior and words coming out of his mouth. However, what even more surprising here was at Jesus' reaction to the leper in verse 3. And Jesus said, this is verse 3. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and saying, I will be clean. Now what Jesus did was truly a disturbing action, an unlawful action for other Jews. Now he just finished his successful ministry, Sermon on the Mount. Now, the great number of people followed him to hear more about the teaching about the kingdom of God. They want to learn more about the kingdom of God. They followed Jesus Christ because of his great teaching. But all of a sudden, Jesus Christ broke the law. Now, if Jesus knew the Old Testament, it's sure, right? He shouldn't come close to leper, unclean person. He should not touch the unclean leper. He shouldn't. They were unclean. But here Jesus extended his hand and touched the leper. What's wrong with Jesus Christ? Now, thinking of people next to Jesus Christ, they were surely surprised by his kind of dangerous action. The fact was that Jesus didn't have to touch him to heal him, to clean him. He could have just said, "I will be clean." But literally here, he touched the unclean body. Jesus touched the leper's body, his broken body, defiled body, an unclean body, and said, "I will be clean." What does it mean to us? Now, we know the rest of the story. As soon as Jesus said, "Be clean," immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It's clean. Then Jesus asked him to go to the priest and to prove that his leprosy was cured. Let's move on to second healing. Let's have some questions in your minds and hold it until at the end of the story. What about the second story, second healing? The second story happened in Capernaum, where was the center of Jesus' early ministry. Now, that same story is found in Luke chapter 7, which is more detailed. Now, based on Luke's story, the Jewish elders came to Jesus and asked him to cure the centurion, the servant. He was a good guy, and please come and help him. Then later on, the centurion came to meet Jesus Christ. And in our text, verse 6, and he said, "Lord," like the same thing the leper said, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." Now, a few things about that we need to think about this guy, the centurion. The centurion was a Roman army officer. It's a high rank. Who was charging about 100 soldiers. Another thing is, he was a Gentile, like many other Roman soldiers. Now, the thing is that the Gentile centurion came to Christ and he called him Lord. Now, again, the word Lord means a sir, a lord. And since the centurion was a Roman officer, maybe there was no reason for him to call Jesus as the Lord. "You are my master, my savior." However, what Matthew portrays in the story later reveals that the centurion actually had faith in Christ. So here, meaning Lord means really a lot. So we understand he called Jesus as the Lord, that is amazing. We don't know what happened to him, how he knew about Jesus Christ. But John Calvin says interesting words. "Before Christ healed his servant, the centurion himself had been healed by the Lord, spiritually, physically." Now, the centurion's request was very simple. "My servant is lying paralyzed at home and suffering terribly. Just come and heal him." He simply showed his love and compassion and concern for his beloved servant. In the Bible, it says boy, lad, and child. Now, the centurion wanted Jesus Christ, his healing, mighty power, healing power for his servant. That's his simple wish. "I want to see your healing power for my servant." Now, what about the reaction of Jesus Christ? That's also interesting. In verse 7, Jesus said, "Okay, I will come and heal him." Jesus answered his prayer, his answer, question. Now here, we should not miss who was a centurion. He was a Gentile Roman soldier. Now, that means Jewish people did not go into their houses, the place where they are staying. Why? Because they considered the Gentiles' living places and their housings or home places were unclean. Same thing. Unclean people, unclean places. Now, Jews in Jesus' time referred Gentiles as dogs. We know that. Unclean and unholy, like dogs in the street. What strikes us is that Matthew 15, even Jesus called a Canaanite woman a dog. So Jesus has in mind that the Gentiles are considered like dogs. What more interesting or striking is found in Jesus' words in Greek text here in ESV says, I will come, three words, but Greek text, it's emphasizing, I, myself, will come. It's interesting to read what Jesus said. He said to the leper, I will be clean. I will, just one word. But here to the Gentile centurion, Jesus said, I, myself, will come. He emphasized that he will surely, truly come into the house of a Gentile, a ceremonially unclean place to heal his servant. Something is not right. Regardless of Jesus' willingness to come to his house, the centurion somehow knew what's coming. It will be bringing more trouble to Jesus Christ if he comes into his house. So this wise centurion humbly answered in verse 8, Lord, Lord, I am not worthy to have come under my roof. I'm not worthy to have you. And in verse 9, the centurion continued, I too am a man under authority. I got authority with the soldiers under me. And I say, no one, go. And they go, he goes. And to another, come. And he comes. And to my servant, do this. And he does it. That's my situation, I understand, about my authority. So in verse 8, go back to verse 8. And he said, only say the word, and my servant will be healed. Wow. What a wonderful statement he just made. You don't have to come, but only say the word, and the servant will be healed. What the centurion said was one of the beautiful, one of the best faith statements in the New Testament. He recognized the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, not many people knew at that time. He also confessed that as God created this world with his words from nothing, God said something, it happened. Surely, I believe that Jesus could heal my servant with your word. That's his faith. Jesus was literally marveled. That means in Greek text, and extraordinarily impressed by his confession. It's a shocking confession. Because for you and me, we also want to see real thing happening to us. Jesus, if you love me, God, if you love me, show something and do something. I want to see real thing in my hands. But this guy, the centurion says, say the word. My servant will be healed. Jesus was extraordinarily impressed by his confession. Now Jesus used the centurion's confession and his response to teach his disciple in verse 10. It goes like this. He said in verse 10, now, no one in Israel have I found such faith. He's talking about faith. And verse 11, many Gentiles... He's talking about many Gentiles will become the people of God because of their faith like this guy. But verse 12, he says, yet the sons of the kingdom, Jews will be thrown into the darkness because of their lack of faith. So now we see that verse 10 and 11, 12, Jesus is talking about faith based on the faith of the centurion. Many people will come and join the kingdom of God because of their faith. But many people, the sons of the kingdom, will be thrown into the darkness because of their lack of faith. And Jesus finally said to the centurion, verse 13, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Sometimes we pray that it happens to us all the time. We just need God's word. What about the third story, the third healing? The last third story healing story in our text is very short and simple. So I don't have to go another 10 minutes. Here, Mark and Luke and also tells about the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. So you can look it up later. But Mark and Luke tells more about, you know, Peter's mother-in-law than in our text, Matthew. And people actually, probably the disciples, asked Jesus to heal Peter's mother-in-law at the time. But in our text, it didn't say that. In our text, a few things are happening. First thing is Jesus saw Peter's mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. And the next step is he touched her hand and healed her. The fever left her. And then she immediately again, she rose and then began to serve him. That's it. That's all story about the third one. Matthew did not tell the faith of Peter's mother-in-law at all, what she had in her heart, what she acted or what she said. Now, Jesus simply healed this particular lady out of his mercy and grace for her, which is also amazing. Now, let's think about these three stories. Maybe you wonder right now, what is the relationship between these three stories? What the leper said is really amazing, right? He didn't force Jesus Christ to heal him. Lord, you're my Lord, please heal me. He didn't say that. But he just said, if you will, you can make me clean. He was suffering. And he had a horrible skin disease, which was believed incurable at the time. That means he must have said that opportunity. Maybe he would not see him again. This is maybe only one time. And he said, please, please help me, Lord, Lord, cure me, heal me right now. I need your mercy. But interestingly, he simply knelt before him and just said, Lord, if you will. Now, it reminds us of what Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done. It connects our minds together. What do we pray when we pray? Your kingdom come here at New Hope Church. Your will be done in our lives here at New Hope Church. The confession of the centurion was also great, right? Only say the word and my servant will be healed. How can we make this kind of statement? Even how could a Gentile make such a powerful statement? Now, centurion's confession reminds us of what Jesus said to the Satan in Matthew 4 as well. Matthew 4 and 4, man shall not live by bread alone. We talked about this one a few weeks ago. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Have you ever really, really realized the power of God? His words coming to us, we live by His word. Nothing else but with the power of God's word. Only say the word and my servant will be healed. What about the story of Peter's mother-in-law? What's the relationship between here? Faith? Did the Bible talk about her strong faith in Christ? No. Was she healed based on her faith in Christ? We don't know what happened to her, but the Bible doesn't say that. But it's interesting to see how Jesus healed her, saw her lying sick with a fever, so he touched her, and she received a complete healing. Jesus simply healed her without asking what she believed. Her faith was not the main cause of her healing, but the compassion of Jesus Christ was the main cause for her complete healing. Now, how can we then understand these three stories together? Here is my question. Have you ever noticed the common situation in their stories? A leper, a centurion, a lady. Now, I found a very interesting commentary when I was starting this week. David Turner says, Here, Matthew selected these three stories to show, same view like me, Jesus' compassion for those who were powerless in Jewish society. Once again, Matthew selected these three different stories to prove and to show that Jesus' compassion for those who were powerless in Jewish society. Think about the leper and the centurion lady. The point of Matthew's arrangement, actually Matthew talked about 10 different miracles in his book, and his arrangement is about the compassion of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ for the marginalized people. The leper was socially or religiously, we can say, isolated from his people. Now, he could not join any public worship. Thank God we have here today. We can worship God. Not allowed to participate in any religious activities. Literally, he was socially, religiously cursed. Now, he could not live with his family members. He was literally thrown out and cast out of his community. He was the unclean person. And no one wanted to be with him, be associated with him. There was no cure for him. Actually, there was no hope for him. What about the centurion? The centurion, he was a Gentile soldier. He did have any religious privileges or benefits of being God's people at all at the time. Many Jewish people call them dogs. Jewish consider them as unclean people, unholy people. We don't like you. What about Peter's mother? No, she was a woman. We know that women in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and even New Testament, were excluded from many religious privileges. Now, all these three stories, the three group of people were not allowed to enter the court of the temple. That is a striking information. They were not allowed to enter the court of the temple. They were marginalized people by the law and culture, tradition and power and money and even more. They were forgotten people. They're not important people at all. They were completely ignored by their society. But Matthew tells us a completely different story. No one wanted to touch the leper. But Jesus did. No one wanted to be associated with the Gentile centurion, but Jesus did. He emphasized, I myself will. Peter's mother, you know, was not forgotten either. Jesus touched her hand out of his mercy. Now here Matthew reveals the greatest message of the gospel in our text from three different stories. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not only for some people, like a Jews, but for everyone. The love of Jesus Christ is not limited by human understanding, human laws and traditions and culture and money and power. It's much bigger than that. And it reminds us of what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek and even to us. Brothers and sisters, with the power of God's grace, His amazing grace, we now join His kingdom family. We received his salvation. We joined God's salvation story. Now here Matthew concluded our text and say verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illness and bore our diseases. Quoted from Isaiah chapter 53. This is a great time for us to think about our relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I didn't mean to write this these messages, but I think this message is perfectly for the Lancer family. Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. And He was oppressed. And He was afflicted. And He was crushed for our sins. As Matthew described, He took our illness, bore our diseases. That's why Matthew is telling all these stories. Now we are standing outside. We were standing outside of God's grace before. We were the outcast. We were the outcast. We were the people living outside of God's grace. We were the people ignored by other people. We were the sinners without any hope in us, but just waiting for judgment. But now we have a peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and through His sacrifice on the cross. He died for our sin. That story made our life completely different. Changed everything. We have been justified by faith. Now God declares us righteous in Christ. Therefore, we now have obtained access into God's grace by faith. Romans 5, I'll just summarize it. We are now standing on God's grace. Brothers, sisters, as Jesus touched the unclean leper, He touches us today with His word. He will say, I will. I myself will. As Jesus accepted the Gentile centurion, one of dogs, He accepts you and me as we are. He shares His grace with us. As Jesus showed His mercy and grace to the forgotten lady, God's grace is now ours. We are not forgotten, but we are remembered in Christ. We're very special. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes we just ask things that what we want. We want money, we want blessings, we want Your healings. But from our stories, we learn that it's not all about us, but it's all about You. You took our illnesses, You bore our diseases, and You saved us, Lord. And Heavenly Father, thank You for teaching these great lessons today. And bless our hearts so that we can hold this faith, these teachings, and we can live our lives for Christ, Christ alone, living for Jesus Christ. We pray, Your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.